Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Well, I've heard of stealing candy from a baby, but I can't say I've ever taken anything from the elderly that you know of anyway. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're talking about Volume 6, Episode 10, Stealing from the Elderly. We're going to be breaking down the episode, and guys, it's going to be a good time. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ugmark?
Should we be concerned about your thievery habits?
What? I've never stolen anything, allegedly.
You should watch
it. So you keep bringing home all of these items that we can't really account for, and I'm pretty sure one of them is someone's soul?
Look, those motorized carts just look like so much fun. It's not my fault that they were made to look fun and easy to steal.
Stealing from the elderly or the grocery store?
No.
You're a rascal.
Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to Rooster Teeth Reviews. We're talking about Ruby Volume 6. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. My name is Megan Salinas, and to my left is Mark Donica.
I've only stolen one thing and not been caught for it. Whoops.
What? To his left, Katie Cullen.
I accidentally stole something once. Does that count?
I think we all have as children.
In broad daylight, no one noticed.
As children, not last week.
Right! Children.
Sadly, Stacey Shuttleworth was not able to join us tonight.
Elderly person stole her.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We need to get her back. We need to get her. Actually, as soon as this show is done, we are going to go rescue her. And we will steal Stacey from the elderly. But in the meantime, please tweet her your well wishes at Stacey Shuttles. We miss her. She'll be back soon. Just be sure to send her a tweet. Let her know you love her. And on that note, we are keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews. Katie and Mark have you guys covered on the live chat. And as always, we are adhering to the community guidelines as set out by Rooster Teeth. That means we're only talking about episode 10 from this volume. No spoilers for next week.
And something I want to say, it isn't a spoiler for episode 10, but I made a prediction at the end of this episode that may sound like a spoiler for episode 10, but it's not. I just want to establish, and my wife can confirm, as soon as this episode ended, I made a prediction, really hoping that it was going to happen. And then I'll get to that at the end of the show.
But
it is not a spoiler for episode 10.
Sounds good.
All right.
So guys, be honest. Be cool. Don't be that guy. No spoilers in the live chat. None in the comments section. We don't want them. Be cool to everybody who has to follow the public release schedule. So please be cool and we'll all have a good time. Thank you all. We love you. All right. So what did we think of this episode, Mark?
I liked it. I've said that this feels like sort of a filler anime season, and the giant robot leading into the premiere of their new giant robot show. You're showing your cards a little bit, Rooster Teeth. Come on. But this was fun, and it gave me a lot of ideas for things that I would want to see when we wrap out the season, but it was definitely part one of several, and that was mean.
Katie?
Boy, I can't wait to see the inevitable Cordo court-martial for this. Are you kidding me? There was a lot of very happy yelling, and then at the end there was just a lot of yelling. I enjoyed it. It was a very good episode.
What kind of yelling was the yelling at the end? Now, I was asking for a descriptor, because you said there was angry, Or there was happy yelling.
Happy yelling. Then it was just yelling.
And then just, okay. I didn't know if there was a descriptor for that type of yelling. Okay.
There really is no descriptor for that type of yelling, because if you lean too far to one side, it becomes dying whale noises. And if you lean too far to the other side, it becomes a high-pitched tea kettle whistle. So really, you just got to go in the middle there.
Yeah. Ride the line.
Yeah.
And blow out the audio.
That certainly was something. I appreciate you moving back away from the mic.
I'm sure everyone does. You're welcome.
Mark, I was thinking a lot about what you were saying about the last episode in terms of it being sort of a transitional episode. And that's how I felt about this one. But just because it was a transitional one, like building up to this inevitable clash that we're getting between Cardovan and, of course, between Adam, like all the buildup for it was so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It kind of felt like classic Ruby a little bit, especially with Maria being so cavalier about everything. I really enjoy it. And I'm such a sucker. Like, anytime you add giant robots to anything, I'm going to be happy with it.
Oh, this was... I don't think any of us were expecting a giant robot, but when it started to happen, I think we were all like, oh my God, you guys, I didn't realize that I wanted this right now, but it turns out I do.
Now, what kind of... I'm thinking to myself, like, what kind of robot clash in the world of Ruby would I want to see? Like... Are all Atlas giant robots sort of standardized, or are they like Pacific Rim-esque Jaegers in which they're all customizable, Mark?
Going a little bit outside of the realm of the world, they're probably not customizable because of what they're trying to do with Genlock.
Yeah.
And everybody's mech is kind of their own thing, but... when it comes to the design, I've always been a big fan of, you got two joysticks, you can do anything. Like, you want to walk? Two joysticks. You want to move the arms? Two joysticks. You want to pick what weapon it is? Two joysticks. You want to fire the weapons? And at the same time, that's one of the two joysticks. But it is still the same joystick. It's not a third. It's just two joysticks. That's all we got. Two joysticks. It's all that Atlas can afford is two joysticks.
Pepsi fan is calling it Pacific Grim.
Boo.
Which I appreciate very, very. You know that's what this movie would be called.
Sure.
You know that's what it is.
I need to go back to when they were passing the movie theater and see if there wasn't a Pacific Rim poster.
Well, that's something for another for the end of the show. Somebody put in our Discord, which if you don't know, we have a Discord page. You can find that link on our Twitter at the Rooster Team, and I'll put it in chat in a little bit later. But somebody posted what their main prediction of what the end of the season is, as has been shown in the main Ruby timeline and in Ruby Chibi. And it's very interesting.
Ooh,
we got a lot of great stuff in the Discord. Y'all are great.
Discord
great
is
folks.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'll put the link in right now.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
Just going back to the robots. This isn't a giant robot show, so I doubt that the other giant robots we see will have too much flair. This one very much reminded me of a Recognizer from Tron. It's just a Recognizer with legs.
It's a very boxy design, yes.
Which is a little bit less two joysticks and more two joysticks and a disc. But it's Tron. You do what you can.
Reminded me of Big O.
That yeah! too.
That reminded me a little bit. It reminded me a little bit more of the Big O piloting system than anything else.
Where it's very stylized, but like very. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it clunky, but like there's a certain weight.
You saw how the robot was moving. The mech was moving. It's pretty clunky.
Now,
but that's the point of it. I'm sure this was not a robot that was made to fight small children. This was probably a robot that was made to fend off Kevin 2.0, and we've seen. Giant Flying Grim and Sea Dragon Grim. Like, pretty sure that's what this robot is here for.
Well, before we dig too deep into the episode, I have to ask, what, and then, you know, throw this out there. I'm just throwing this out there. What is the likelihood that this robot combines with other similar robots to form an even bigger robot?
Megan. I know you're excited for Genlock, but this is the Ruby show.
Megan, I know you're grieving over the end of Voltron, but this is a Ruby show.
Let me have my giant robot fight!
Plus, Atlas isn't that creative.
Point.
I I would tend to disagree with one, I would say four letters, F-N-K-I. There's creativity in Atlas. There's okay. artistry in Atlas. But whether they're in the military or not, we don't know.
I was going to say, allow me to course correct then. The Atlas military isn't that creative. Well, military design isn't pretty. Military design is functional.
Utilitarian.
I say that growing up Air Force.
Before we talk about the Atlas military, though, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
Before I make this announcement, I want to shout out to Nick in the chat. I always get your last name wrong, so I'll say Nick R, who says, Go Go Power Ranger, R-N-J-R.
Yeah!
And I have to say Pepsi Fan 24 with Voltron, V-L-T-R-N. That's a team. I love it.
Winner. You know what else we love? We love when y'all help us out to grow as a family, because that's what we do. AfterBuzz is our network, produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. It will let you know the exact moment we go live if you ring that bell. But you don't have to. It's optional. So hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thank you for helping us thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah. Highly recommend checking out the sci-fi horror superhero channel. Lots of fun shows. just because of such great content. No other reason.
Yeah.
If y'all don't mind, I'd like to read a couple of the comments that we got.
Please do.
Because of last week's subject matter, we seem to have gotten a little bit more people watching live, which we appreciate. From Jesus Pando, we got Pira's mom saying hello again would have killed me. Red Truth, the dead talk joke was funny. I don't know why there was a beat of silence. That's from us. And we do thank everybody who reached out to us. We do know that last week's episode was a bit out of sync. That's something with the studio that's happening. It happened across a couple of shows last week. As far as we know, it has been fixed. But we appreciate everybody who let us know. Like Mark Bell, who said, this is worse than watching a 70s karate movie. But we fixed it all. And we appreciate... Oh, don't you... Don't you even. But thank you, everybody, for commenting and supporting the show. It's one of the best ways to know that you like us.
Yeah.
They really like us.
I didn't say that.
We really appreciate it. And it helps us get away with our many crimes. I mean, it helps us get subscribers and look more searchable and all that good stuff.
You need to stop.
Because that's the same.
Well, my crimes are for another day. Let's talk about getting through security. I probably could have gotten a better segue than that.
Yeah. I mean, this was also committing crimes on their part. You ever try to jump the line at TSA?
So, yeah.
Be nice to the TSA people. They're working without pay right now.
But also, they're having a little bit of fun. I heard, like, they're not being paid, so they're just like, whatever, let's all hang out. And I heard there's people like blasting their like music and stuff like that to make everybody's experience be a little bit better.
Yeah.
So
it's hard out there right now, guys. So spread a little love. We really appreciate it.
Be good to people.
Yep.
Be good to people.
Be excellent to each other.
Be good to people. Be good to people. Be good. Be good to people.
Be good.
Now let's get back to Ruby.
So yeah, back to crimes. So why Schnee is committing a crime here? I adore watching this opening because, again, Cordovan and her two guards, they're just so over-the-top anime that it's just a joy to watch them. And, like, even just listening to her voice, it's so over-the-top and so airy that it's, like, it feels so anime-inspired. And kind of interesting is that it doesn't sound like Cordovan, because we were talking last week about how much... the Atlas military knew about the Schnee family sort of current situation. And it actually sounds like Cordovan is more oblivious than we thought, because she's referring to Weiss coming back from Beacon, coming back from the academy, and having come to her senses about, like, oh, yes, I can't wait for you to come to the school in Atlas and follow in your sister's footsteps. And just seeing the look on Weiss's face when she gets told about how excited someone is to see her do exactly what Winter did. Oh, man.
Sure.
Does anybody here, do everybody here, do we all have older siblings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we, anybody with an older sibling knows that feeling where you're just like,
not mine. I was the good kid.
No, yeah. Just
throw that out there.
No, yeah,
I was the good kid.
But I mean, in terms of just being associated, you're like, Dobby is his own elf. Like, that, or Dobby is a free, whatever. I got it wrong. But that sort of thing of being associated, lumped in, and especially being, quote, the good one, being like, no, I tried really hard to be the good one. Don't lump me in with the bad one.
More to the point where after elementary, we went to different schools.
Mm, smart. I was always the little one.
Aww. Yeah. Well, not on even this panel. Not on this panel, you're not.
Well, no, I also outgrew him very early physically, so that helped.
That definitely works. It's a lot easier to step out of the shadow when you're taller than them physically.
I am the shadow.
but they sort of come up with this plan to sneak Maria aboard, which I always joke with my friends about, like, throw me in your suitcase when you travel abroad. I didn't think that was actually going to be the way they did this, and I kind of love that they did. Mm-hmm. It's fun to get a little bit cartoony before we rack up the states.
And the joke here is that actually going in the cargo hold will kill a human. Don't do it.
I think that's why it was a carry-on instead.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. But just the whole, your suitcase is very heavy, and it's all muscle. Yes, my suitcase is full of muscle.
I also really like that they're not really villainizing the henchmen, the guards. Like, a baby starts to cry, and they drop everything to attend to the needs of the screaming child. Like, that was really sweet.
I love Saffron's terrible acting. He's just so sad that you're leaving.
No one's that sad for Weiss to be leaving.
Oh!
I'm sorry. That was a little cold.
Mark.
Just stab me in the heart, right? Why don't you?
No.
Or, you know, in the stomach.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going. Okay. Sorry. My bad. I'm slow today. Now, this is weird. And I know this is probably for comedic effect. But does anybody think
here we go.
That the Atlesian guards were an early take on human androids? They were like first draft Penny, because it's so unnatural that yes it's comedy, but what if, and the reason why they look the same, the reason they're all covered, what if they are the first take of robo humans? I don't know what's funny about it. Like, they're experimenting with humans and making them androids, and Penny, fine, do I have to mention that Penny died to get everybody to be sad again?
No, I love this theory, and so I'm going to say yes, these two guards are androids. Absolutely. Cool. And I will stand by that until proven otherwise.
None of the rest of them are. Just these two. Does that mean that falling into water will kill them? Because that's probably what happened there.
I hope not. I would hope the Atlas military made them waterproof if they're right by the coast.
Mm-hmm.
That seems very short-sighted if
and
they didn't.
They're so similar because they're both the same model.
Mm. Exactly. They're the perfect androids sent by CyberLife.
No, I love them.
You're welcome.
And we know the theory is that they're Tweedledee and Tweedledum, but or the card soldiers. But either way, I like the card soldiers would fit the robot theory, because you just keep making them the same one, and they could be Alpha as Ace, Model K, Model Q, Model J, then 10 through 1. Or 10 through 2.
Pepsi fans, Ninetale Phoenix says, these aren't the droids you're looking for. And Pepsi fan 24 follows up with, your clones are impressive. You must be very proud.
And Charles Hockenberry says, and Nerf is a 30-year-old man. God, you start with me.
I love you all.
I'm making waves. It's going to happen.
For me, I love the robot theory. What I kind of look at these guys, it's funny, when I look at these guys this week, you know, I definitely see card soldiers and I definitely see Tweedledee and Tweedledum. But something else that, like, didn't occur to me when we were talking about last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago when we met them, was that actually it's very rare that we get something that feels like it's straight out of the Wizard of Oz movie, for how much the show draws from the Wizard of Oz and the Wizard of Oz mythology. Like, we don't really get a whole lot of overt references to the movie, and these guys feel very much to me like the guard at the front of the Emerald City.
Well, General Ironwood isn't here.
See, and my thought was the Wicked Witch guards, the ho-wee-o.
Yes, ho-o. To both of those. Yes, to both of those. Wow. I mean, they're that, like, old-timey cartoony. I love it.
Yeah.
But anyway, they get tossed out of plane, so they don't matter.
Yeah. And also, just so that the comments don't come after us, we realized that we talked about it earlier on, the two huntsmen from the train, Dee and Dudley, are Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We are aware. We're just saying that these guys give off a very Tweedledee and very Tweedledum vibe.
Dem vibes.
We definitely get that vibe from
Dem
them.
Vibes or dumb vibes?
Yes.
Damn dumb vibes.
It's a double.
But I really loved this sort of subversion here too, because Maria actually comes up with a really good plan when they get spotted. She has enough jargon.
Tell me how this is a good plan.
Please. She has enough jargon to be able to speak the lingo, so to speak. And I love it because in something like Star Wars, it works perfectly. We're all good here. How are you? Mm-hmm. But here, she gets called out on it immediately, not because anything she said was suspicious, but because they don't have a whole lot of elderly female pilots.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the pilots that they sent were these two guys. Neither of them could have filled in for that role. Mm-hmm. And then Maria immediately switches to, all right, plan B, you crazy kids letting me fly this ship, like, really leans into the old woman plot. And that might have worked had Cordo not been right there.
And have y'all seen Bumblebee yet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
maybe
this,
spoiler warning.
This not necessarily.
Okay.
Actually, no. This was in a trailer, so so I can go with it. This was a moment where, as you're watching it, you're like, this can't work. This is too obvious. And then, oh yeah, no, it's too obvious. Similarly to the part where John Cena goes, they're called the Decepticons. Does that not send any red flags up to anybody?
That to me is the best line in that movie.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy.
I love that we can bring it back around to giant robots again. Hooray!
Do it again.
It's a good day.
It is a good day. And Maria, I feel like, is where most of the comedy from this episode comes from. Because once they're found out, she just kind of throws up her hands and stuff.
Whatever, I'm a crazy old lady.
Whatever, I do what I want.
It's this
all the cashews I want.
It's this rivalry that's simmering under the surface, and obviously they don't like each other, but now that crimes are being committed and there's a giant robot in the mix, they're escalating. So it goes from, this is the sound of me not caring, to time to break out a giant robot. Mm-hmm. Like, someone pulls out a slingshot and you whip out a rocket launcher. Again, she getting court-martialed. Escalated. There's no way she's not getting court-martialed.
Escalated real quickly. Yeah. Feel like it didn't need to go that far. So do that sort of brings us to Team Ruby on the ground. And once they see how quickly it has escalated, the fact that there is a giant robot out, this is where Crow sort of starts to... This is where we actually see...
He hits,
like,
rock bottom.
Yeah, this is where we see, like, the real breakdown of the character, where he's just like, this is all my fault. It's our fault, collectively, me and Oz and all of the rest of us, that the state of the world is where it's at right now. It's my fault you kids are in this trouble. Like, I dragged you into it. And this is where, yeah, this is the character at his lowest, at least sober-wise, at
yeah.
his lowest. And we get a bit from Ruby. And again,
much like last episode, it really highlights how much she's grown as a character. And I feel like she tells him exactly what he needed to hear.
He needed this reality check. He needed the reality check last episode, and this one is a different flavor, and he needs it too. Because when you start having the breakdown that includes the phrase, all of my life's decisions have brought me here, you know you're having trouble. And the fact that she just lays it out for him, like, this is not your responsibility. We're not kids anymore. Don't treat us like it. We'd be here regardless, which is true. They made that decision and he followed them to start with. But we still need you. We could still use you. Like, yes, good leadership. She is the leader here, regardless of how many other adults are in the mix. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Crow doesn't. He had the mindset, and without him overtly saying it, he had the mindset of, I have to protect these kids. And I think he's finally over that. He doesn't have to do anything now, and now he's just a part of the team. He's not the legal guardian. Like they presented at John's sister's house, it is like, yes, it's a field trip. Like, I think by presenting that mindset, that gets you ready for the idea of, oh, maybe that's what he thought he was. And now, not to get too grim, not a pun, not to get too grim, but I think now that he's had that emotional release, he can finally go all out and possibly sacrifice himself to be like, all right, they don't need my help. I'm going to make sure they get somewhere safely.
I was actually, about to ask if maybe not in this season, but if now that he's hit this particular character beat, if we think that, you know, is there redemption for him? Because he's been a jerk this entire season. Is there a way for him to redeem himself? And subsequently, does that mean sacrificing himself?
At some point.
I'm going to go with yes and no. Mm. Like, he's going to be more useful alive, honestly, with his experience, with his combat ability. And again, the whole, I'm supervising them. We're on a field trip. Like, that excuse dies with him. And also, he knows Ironwood and he knows Winter. So, again, that's their connection.
The second they see that lamp, they need no further explanation. That's what I think. Maybe not Winter, but James at least.
Well, Ironwood, but you have to get through how many layers to get to the guy?
Well, they may not have to. Now that there is I suppose an international incident at the border where this giant mech piloted by one woman making Atlas look terrible and wasting Atlesian wasting gas money on chasing a fly. Before we got too far, I did want to. Oh, did it go away? Half the battle won. Sid Crow's tired of being a burden.
Whoa!
Very good.
How dare
Very
you? Good.
I love you.
And it's.
Wow.
That was good. I don't mean to imply that Crow's going to go, all right, I can die now, but something that. Something that the writers would be like, all right, he's had his moment. Let's give him one last thing to ride off into the sunset. And whether that's similarly to what we saw at the end of season 3, where he just turns to a bird and flies away or dies, and he takes care of some stuff behind the scenes and he's never seen or heard from again, or something like that. I don't mean to imply that he's like, well, time to kill myself in battle.
Well, my character arc is complete. Guess I'll die.
Yeah.
Honestly, in terms of death flags, I think Maria would be the one to go. Just in terms of, hey, we have a mentor. Bye.
Yeah, I have a prediction about Maria that I can't talk about until next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, it already happened. So, but speaking to that, Maria says in her discussion with Ruby, like, my dad didn't know. He kind of told me what he felt. And I don't think Maria can die until Ruby has her trial by fire that they talked about. So once it's like, even in the middle of it, if that's when Maria goes, it's still something of, all right, well, we set this up and we had the payoff. And now Ruby is they set her up to be like, you just kind of got to figure it out. And now mm-hmm. she has to. So especially after this episode, I don't remember who said in the chat, but somebody said, how can you not love Maria after this episode?
Oh, she's
so
wonderful.
That's the problem, is they're teaching us to love people just to kill them.
Yeah.
They've been doing that since season one. Everyone fell in love with Pyrrha when
Red
she
versus blue.
Up.
Ever since Red versus Blue.
Well, yes, that too. Mm-hmm.
It is something known very well to Rooster Teeth fans, even outside of the Ruby sphere. York fans, I'm looking in your direction.
I thought you were going to say something about Strangerhood.
Does anyone love Strangerhood?
Ray Narvaez Jr. And it's only a joke.
Does anyone love Strangerhood?
But
it's a meme at this point.
I know. I'm aware.
To bring it back to giant robots, bringing out a giant robot right next to the city, I have to wonder about how super top secret that particular robot was, because the townspeople, when we get shots of the city, they look very surprised.
And it was built into a rock that crumbled away when it was activated. Like, that's not something that gets out and about very often.
Hmm. Now, what are the odds that seeing a giant robot on the coast is going to cause the city to panic and therefore bring lots of grim?
I'd love that. I would absolutely love for there to be laser-guided karma for this.
Hmm. And maybe not... maybe not a bunch of grim, but a really big one.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. The Kraken?
Oh, okay.
Sure. Oh, my God.
Hey, you don't know.
Do you know the Pacific Rim theme? Don't you cricket it's the okay. Pacific Rim theme?
It's okay.
Excuse.
Anyway, do we have any final thoughts on this side of the episode before we jump over to Blake and Yang?
I want it to be my post-credit scene. I don't care. I want to see that court-martial. I want it to happen. I want her to see her precious General Ironwood and have him be like, what in the actual hell were you thinking? That is not proper escalation. What are you doing?
And then she, as people are predicting for Captain Phasma in episode 9, so this is going to age well, she becomes a mercenary and hunts them until the day she dies.
Or she just becomes like a cafeteria worker. Dishonorable discharge. Bye, Felicia.
Lunch lady land.
There's nothing wrong with being a lunch lady. Just Cordo would hate it.
I want Kaiju Grimm. And I want the opening of Pacific Rim where Kaiju Grimm like tears down the bridge and there's a full-on giant robot fight. I would like that. That would be great. Anyway,
yes.
Before we move on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep the lights on here, helps keep us at this desk. And as I said before, it helps us get away with our many, many crimes. So we really appreciate it. And we like giving you guys a shout out, too, when you guys do leave a comment.
Such as Tales Marvel Tailgate on iTunes left us a 5-star review. As everybody knows, stars 1 through 4 are broken, saying, isn't this lovely? Since the previous reviews were deleted, thought I'd write another one. Though I've been able to catch the latest review last week, this fine group is still able to dive amazingly into speculation, analysis, and joyful buffoonery that once captivated me to listening during Ruby Volume 3, and continue to act as a great uplifter while composing my scripts, which I finished my first season, and understand how hard it is for Miles and Carrie to create a good story. Congratulations on finishing your script. And here's to revising and the long process ahead. You're ahead of the game.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Here's to 2019 and wonderful blessings for you all. P.S. I really need that red jacket Katie wears. It's amazing. From The Echo or The Answer. That's
where
it was signed. That's how it's signed.
Which
this
jacket?
Was from Thursday, so it could have been last week.
Could have been the week before.
Been able to catch the latest review last week, so 2 weeks ago maybe.
It takes a couple days for iTunes.
We'll be right with you. So
what was I wearing?
Yeah.
Also,
just...
joyful buffoonery.
I was going to say.
Hashtag joyful buffoonery.
Joyful buffoonery. JB. I'm going to change my Twitter profile description to filled with joyful buffoonery.
Yes.
Put it on my IMDb page. Put it on my tombstone. Put it on all of my profile information. I don't think I've ever heard a word that describes me as a person better than filled with joyful buffoonery.
How did she die? Joyful buffoonery.
Anyway, so thank you guys so much. And we know we have an international audience as well. We can't see those, but those comments do count. So what we'd like you to do is take a screen cap of it and put it in the hashtag RTReviews so that you guys can get your shout out too. We love you guys so much, and you're the best. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for all of your support to all of our various locations on the interweb. Following us on Twitter at The Rooster Team, our new podcast feed, Rooster Team Radio, where we have Welcome to Vail, as well as a show that we're going to do intermittently, Technical Difficulties, as it may sound, maybe not necessarily all the time. It may be a technical difficulty, but hell, that's a good name, and I like that jingle. So does everybody else. Branding. And thank you for supporting us at tpublic.com/theroosterteam. That's where you can find a lot of our newest and freshest threads, designs, all sorts of things you can get on. We've seen, like, a friend of the show, Caitlin, she's gotten stickers, notepads, the I Hate the Ships You Like on a pillow. There's a whole bunch of stuff available, and there's a lot of great designs up there, including one by friend of the show, Princess Ponies 81, who is a wonderful artist, and we support artists in the community, and we love all of the stuff that we've been able to create with everybody. So make sure to join our Discord as well, which I'm going to put in the chat right now. More on everything else at the end of the show, but thank you for your support.
Also, I have no idea what jacket you're talking about. Message me.
So guys, let's talk Bumblebee. Not the movie this time.
Beat me to it.
But yeah, Aaron's tattoo is really cute.
The whole reason that they got spotted in the first place is because Blake was supposed to take down the communications tower, and as Tara put it, we never had this discussion.
I just love this isn't the first time I've had to disable Atlas security, and just this thousand yard, that is not something you say to an IT person stare.
Never happened.
Beautiful.
Never happened. But there's this moment where, you know, the two of them, Yang and Blake, are parting ways. You know, Blake's going to go do her thing because stealth is not Yang's forte. But,
I mean, you're great and I'll be back. Which was great.
I like this because there are a lot of shows that would use this as an excuse for them to have a petty fight, like, right here and now. But, like, there's too much going on. There's too much at stake. There's no need to get mad over something so little. So it's just like, okay, go.
And I think Yang is well aware that stealth is not her specialty. So it's just kind of like, I'm giving you grief because it's funny, but I'm not actually upset.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Blake is probably also still trying to overcompensate a little bit by being too nice and too helpful. But, you know, some effort is better than none. Well, she doesn't manage to take down the communication tower. Instead, she gets sidelined because Adam happens to be there.
Break their legs!
Adam is a dick. I feel like it's a unanimous yes across the board that we all want to break his legs. So I'm going to mix it up a little bit this week. Unless somebody has a dissenting...
There!
Legs!
Does somebody have a dissenting opinion about whether we should break Adam's legs?
I'd rather break his skull, generally speaking.
Mark?
What? No, so here's... I realized what happened with that video cue, and I'm sorry because I left an extra take at the end, which is what that last one was. But, I repeat what I said at the top of the show. This is not a spoiler. This is a legitimate prediction that I had at the end of this episode. And I was, as it went to black, and my wife Andrea went, oh, I went, I want the next episode to open with just... and the bike taking Adam out, just all of his body just dead, or no, and then end of fight, and then we just proceed.
That ties in to my my main question here with our segment, Break Their Legs, is not whether or not we should break his legs. How do we break his legs?
Motorcycle.
Steamroller.
Ouch. I'm going to go with full Misery style, like Kathy Bates in Misery. That's how we break his legs.
Oh, yeah.
Carefully.
Yeah, that's a thought. That's a thought.
My only problem is the Kathy Bates character had some sort of appreciation and
that's true
and like of the person in question of the author in question.
Well, now Adam would know what it feels like then.
I like you so much. I'm gonna keep you here.
Well,
see?
That,
she's
yeah.
not fun when it's on the other foot now, is it, Adam?
Yeah.
Why don't I just take that foot?
Maxis Fox says he's arguably wearing one of Blake's ribbons, so yeah, break his legs, which on one hand, I doubt it. On the other hand, that's a level of creep factor I hadn't considered.
Did not consider that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he's wearing a blindfold.
He is wearing
it
a blindfold.
It could be one of her ribbons.
But yeah, it's going... connected. Like, the fact that it connects the sword to the gun.
That's true.
Like, there's a little bit on the bottom, but we haven't seen it cut off.
I hope that it's not one of her ribbons, because that, I mean, he's already a skeezy guy. Not to mention that as...
I can make it worse. I can make it much worse with one simple thing. Yeah?
Is it air appropriate?
Yes, but, I mean, it's very skeezy. So, first of all, apologies to our audio listeners, but the one thing that I could do to make this creepier... And then tie it on the back of his head.
Oh, gross.
Yep. Charles Hockenberry got it right after I did it. So.
You say that like he hasn't already done that.
Yeah. You made me do this.
Stop it.
And just the whole, like, you did this, you did this, you did that, and her going, leave me alone. You stalked me across a continent. Like, for anyone who's still trying to argue that Adam isn't abusive, you need to stop. Because a lot of his lines are like, opens up textbook abusive dialogue, copy, paste. Come on.
We got confirmation it's one of her old ribbons that she used to wear to cover her ears.
It's hecked up!
And also, as we were saying, woo! Saying skeezy, shout out to Skeezy Mike in the chat. No offense to Skeezy Mike.
No offense, Skeezy
probably
Mike.
Very nice Mike. Woo! Very nice guy. Named Mike. Skeezy notwithstanding.
Mike, we like you. Skeeziness, level of skeeziness notwithstanding. You're fine.
You're good.
You're good.
Sorry. And Sam Green wants to break his legs in a hydraulic press. So now that we're back on. Oh, and the slow-mo, like the YouTube channel. Not the slow-mo guys, but that slow-mo hydraulic. We're just... You see bones pop out. It's like a creepy Mortal Kombat thing.
That's like a finish him. Blake makes the good point of, like, you know, he needs to let go of the past, which it's interesting that knowing for sure that that is one of her ribbons, because he's literally blinded by the past in that sort of regard. He can't let go. But looking at this blindfold, it made me go, wait, so why does he need a blindfold? Was he wearing a mask for reasons other than it was just a uniform from the White Fang?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that Daredevil aesthetic from him. Like, him being here wasn't really as much of a surprise, given that we've kind of seen him around and it's been this, is it a hallucination or is he actually there? Who knows? But... yeah, the eye gear was new and different and surprising.
So
there's probably a capital R reason behind it.
It brings up a lot of questions.
At the same time, he could just be that much of a doucher where he just like, I'm gonna look cool. Masks are so 2017.
He's such a weird, creepy guy that, yeah, I could absolutely see him doing that just because it goes with his image.
And Freezer Burn Otaku comments, it was creepy when he said, I was waiting for you to be away from them. Yep. Stalker behavior.
And BG Titan Avatar, is that what you did to me? You threw away our memories? Like, ew.
You cut off her friend's arm, you psychopath.
And I do it again.
You tried to kill her parents.
Hashtag Bird Box Challenge.
You're the reason she lit her house on fire, which arguably you probably didn't see that coming.
Whoa, okay, I know I'm messed up, but this, okay, all right.
Ooh, arson. I knew you still had it in you, and I was just like, oh, okay, nope.
He leaves off the, you know, we're left with this moment where he goes, I let you go once, I'm never making that mistake again. Mm-hmm. And they get ready to fight, cut to black. So guys, it's time to talk some real quick rapid fire predictions.
Or some slow ones. The table hasn't done it in a while.
That is all over the place. Okay.
That's a thing. Holy butts.
So, guys, giant robot and Adam fight coming. What's in store for the rest of the season?
There's no way Yang's not joining in this Adam fight. She's on her way. There's going to be some dramatic timing, and they are going to just destroy him together.
Yeah.
This is what I want.
Hopefully she can hold steady and take it head on, because the implications of the intro, we're still dealing with the intro, show that it's, and stuff previously in the season, it's still on her mind. They gotta all work together to take that robo down, I'll tell you what. But I agree with Katie. I really hope that there's a court martial, there's another bogey that comes in. So on our Discord, join our Discord, there's a theory that there is a giant Grimm waiting in the ocean. There is a sonar that showed a big red dot. There was a poster at the movie theater that said Creatures of the Deep or something like that. And then there was a line in Ruby Chibi that implied that there's like a big sea monster. It's like, shit, that's the season finale. And people, everybody may be looking a little bit too far into it, but there's always that possibility. I would much more like Cordovan to get a legal comeuppance, a Batman-esque, you're going to jail comeuppance.
I want both. I want giant monster, and then court martial,
dishonorable discharge. Go.
Anyway, I hope this season ends with Ironwood, because I miss that silver fox. Anyway, that's going to do it for our show this week. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos for these episodes and other things, they live on that YouTube channel. I am also on an Overwatch podcast called On The Point, and I do unboxing videos for Fanversation.
Mark Donica.
Go.
Okay, well, it's audio. And you can find me at Mark B. Donica. I do a bunch of podcasts. If you like wrestling, the Wrestling Professionals, twitch.tv/wrestlingprofessionals, we record our podcast live. And we're also doing, if you like video games and the idea of professional wrestling, we have a storyline-driven video game series called Pixel Pro Wrestling that we're revitalizing, and we want everybody to check it out. It's been a lot of fun to relive some of this stuff. But that's twitch.tv/wrestlingprofessionals. Party of Two is a theme park podcast I do with my wife, anchor.fm/partyoftwopod. Same thing on Twitter. Follow me at Mark B. Donica, and make sure to follow our podcast feed, anchor.fm/theroosterteam. There may or may not be a new show going up soon because Megan's a genius.
Don't forget to follow Stacey at Stacey Shuttles on Twitter and Instagram. Guys, shout out to Rooster Teeth, because they made the discovery today that episode The Lost Fable, episode 69! So, congratulations, Rooster Teeth! You did it! Congratulations, Kruby! You did it! Dab Master Mark over here.
Oh, I thought we were off already.
No. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost, so be sure to check it out. So, guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week. And, guys, remember,
Dust you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.